It's Friday, the 9th of November 2018. My name's Jeremy Medlin, and welcome to episode 15 of the Stock Market Movers podcast. Right, before we kick off with the show, just the standard reminder that nothing that I say today is financial advice. If you're looking for financial advice, I recommend that you speak to an authorised financial advisor. Got a big show ahead of us today. Going to speak about the Trustpower results. We're going to talk about Orion Healthcare. We're going to talk about Spark Sport. And yes, we're going to get to the Pushpay results as well. Now, I did a shout out on the last episode that anyone that knew a little bit more about the company Plexure to get in touch and help me understand the company in a bit more detail, and that request found its way to the CEO Craig Herbison, and his people reached out to me and arranged a meeting with Craig. Went down to see him in his offices during the week and sat down with him and recorded the conversation for the podcast, which is absolutely fantastic. So I really like to thank the people that organised that, and what we're going to do is release that episode as a bonus episode on Monday. And so a bit different to what we normally do. It'll be a really interesting one for listeners of the podcast. So keep an ear out on Monday morning. I'll send a notification out that the podcast has been released and let us know any feedback that you have. Right, we might as well get started with today's episode then. Trustpower, trading on the ticker code on the NZX, TPW, reported their interim results for the half year. They flat revenues, which is what you'd expect for an electricity provider, based off what they do. I mean, you can only really grow at the level that the economy does, so some flat years doesn't really mean too much to me. However, their earnings were down reasonably significantly. So like the other providers in New Zealand, they use this, I think, weird metric to guide for the earnings. It doesn't really seem that useful to me, but they all do it and they probably all copy each other. That's EBITDAF, which is earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, amortization, and I think fair value of financial instruments or something like that. So that came into the 130 million, down 15%. On the year-on-year basis, and underlying earnings after tax is 64.7 million. That was down 21%. And looking at the cash flow statement, I'd say the underlying earnings after tax is probably the number you should be focusing on, although judging by the fact that Trustpower report EBITDAF, maybe they obviously think differently, but I think Trustpower had operating cash flows of around 60 million, which and a small amount of capital expenditures. So the underlying earnings after tax seems like a more relevant number. But that's just my view. Telco customers increased 14% throughout the year, so to 91,000 people. So that makes them the fourth largest internet provider in New Zealand. So interesting, this sort of stuff, because what companies like Trustpower and everything else do is, because they're essentially offering a commodity service, so it doesn't matter if you get it from Trustpower, Meridian or another provider or anything like that, they try to bundle their services together. And what that means is that when you've got bundled services, I think statistically, and there's been studies done on this, I don't know the exact numbers, but I would say you're far less likely to change providers if you get bundled services. And I'm a bit like that with Spark, for example. So we originally signed up to Spark, changed providers because we got Netflix for a year. So that's one thing. But then hold on, I find out I've got Spotify and Lightbox as well. And that's just my personal anecdotal experience. And because of, even if I found a little bit cheaper deal on the broadband and everything like that, I'd be unlikely to change because I get free Spotify and that's convenient for me. And I know deep down that I could probably go subscribe to Spotify and subscribe to Spark separately and maybe save a little bit of money, but I don't do that because of the bundle and the ease of it. And that's what these companies are trying to do. They're trying to bundle their products. Into bundles, because that's a good way of increasing the value of of their customer and increase the stickiness as well, because there's quite a lot of cost of acquisition for a new customer in this space, and the more sticky, the less churn there is, and you know, the easier it is to make money is essentially it. Utility accounts, that increased as well, so just under 400,000 utility accounts, and so it's you know, I think that's pretty good going as well. So it's good to see some increase there. They did a 17 cents per share dividend, and they declared a special dividend of 25 cents per share. And that was due to the sale of Green State Power. Having a look at the balance sheet, Trustpower, they typically like to keep quite low cash levels. I think that's because they've got a majority owner in Tecton and Infratil. So, you know, these guys just want to take the cash out of the business, which if I was a shareholder, I'd be very happy with that as well. And, you know, they don't have, in my view, compared to their asset base, they don't have a massive debt burden. So, you know, if they've got spare cash like that, it might as well be sent back to shareholders. What else are they going to do with it? It's not like Trustpower can redeploy that capital and infinitely and receive massive returns in that capital, so it might as well go back to you. Then, you know, continuing to read through the letter, they banged on about how good they are for a while. I sort of skim read that part. You know, they said they've got awards from Netflix and Microsoft and everything like that, but I just sort of, you know, glance over that. Then they said they support and contribute to regulatory reviews. You know, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they love doing that. But you know, they all say the same thing. Then they guided to for a full year of EBITDAF, again between 215 and 235 million. So that was an increase of 10 million. So they've held their full year guidance, which probably explains why the stock wasn't hit very hard this week. But yeah, all in all, a pretty standard result from Trustpower, making some progress there with the telco customers, which is great. You know, obviously a tougher half for them and on the earnings perspective, but all in all, good to see them sending that cash back to shareholders, not wasting it. And yeah, we'll watch this one for the rest of the year. Orion Healthcare on the NZX under the ticker code OHE, and believe it or not, even though it doesn't trade very much and it won't be there for much longer, they have a ticker code on the ASX called OHE as well. They surprised me during the week. I spoke a few weeks ago about the complicated share buyback that's going on there at the moment. I won't go into the details of that, but basically they said that they would be buying back the shares between 116 and 126 per share. And I remember thinking at the time, and I think I commented on the podcast as well, that I thought it would be at the lower end of that range. And I even said to a friend, based off no real information or anything like that, I said, based off a guess, I say they would buy them back at 118 per share, and that looks to have been proved wrong by the company during the week. Maybe they heard the podcast, I don't know. They said that they would buy back shares between 120 and 125 per share. So that was a boost for holders of Orion Healthcare who might have been expecting a lower price. So again, I don't want to make predictions now, but I would still expect that to be the lower end of the range. But you never know. Maybe they'll increase it again between now and December. So it'd be interesting to see how this plays out. But yeah, good news for shareholders to see that buyout range has increased. Well, I guess the bottom end of the buyout range has increased. So the top end's decreased, but more important to see the bottom end increase, I think, for shareholders. You could say that shots were fired across the bow of Sky TV during the week, with Spark coming out with their sport offering. And no surprises, they went for the alliteration and called it Spark Sport. And, you know, the market certainly reacted like that initially, with Sky TV selling off during the day, which is, in my view, was a little bit insane. The people selling on that news, I don't know where they've been living, under some sort of rock or something like that, because it's been flagged for a long time that Spark has come out with is going to come out with a sport offering, and it seems silly to me that the Sky TV stock would sell off because of that, because you know the market's really known about it, and you know it's interesting by the end of the day that Sky TV's stock was actually up a percent or so by the end of the day. So you know, obviously those people that sold were, you know, replaced by people that maybe saw the opportunity there. So a really interesting one, this. And Sky have obviously decided that they didn't want to pay a certain amount for some of this sport offerings that Spark was bidding for. Now, I think Spark, similar to what I said about Trustpower earlier on in the podcast, they have a different, I think, different economics to this than Sky. I think Spark are largely offering this and is sort of part of the bundling process where they're chucking everything in together with their other subscriptions and everything like that. So it's different to Sky, which needs to make, you know, a set return off their investments. And I think maybe Spark's offering, you know, obviously they want to make a return off their investments as well, but some of that return might not be as measurable as Sky's, because they'll see it as part of their customer retention. And, you know, John Fellett actually from Sky, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, because I know he has particular thoughts about overbidding for stuff. And he wrote in his 2018 annual letter, I recommend everyone reads John's letters because they are excellent. He used a quote from Fisher from Common Stocks and Uncommon Profits. I recommend, if you haven't read that book, jump onto stockmarketmovers.co.nz and have a look at it, because it is one of the great investing books. And the quote was about price and value. Now, John wrote, in thinking about content, it is important that one understands the difference between price and value. Price is the amount you pay for something, but value is what you get with that piece of content. The easiest thing to do is keep bidding until everyone else drops out. But you don't actually win the bid until you extract enough value to cover your costs. There are several contracts we have lost over the years, but seldom has the same company come back the next time and bid the same amount. Now, what John's essentially saying there, when you read between the lines, is that he believes a lot of this content that's been bidded away from Sky, that the companies doing that have overpaid. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, next time the content comes up for auction again, I suppose, if the same companies are in the race. And in some ways, you know, everyone would have forgotten about it the next time the Rugby World Cup comes around. But you will know if you remember, if this is back with Sky in 4 or 5 years' time, or whenever it is. So I guess only time will tell. Spark obviously feel like they've bidded prices up to a set, to an area where it makes sense for them in terms of the value proposition they get both from the bundling and from the subscriptions they'll receive, whereas Sky believe that they didn't want to pay too much. Only time will tell who the winner will be with that. But just on John's quote there as well, it is a good quote. Value is what you get with that piece of content, but price is what you pay. And that's the same with investing with stocks. You know, you can, the value is what you get, the price is what you pay, and they can be two completely different things. Sometimes you get a lot more value than what you pay, and sometimes you get a lot less. And at the end of the day, that's what you're weighing up as a stock investor, or when you're bidding or buying anything, actually. It's the price is what you pay and the value is what you get. Right, Pushpay, as you probably know, trades on the NZX under the ticker code PPH and the ASX under the ticker code PPH. They reported their interim results earlier this week. We did a earnings preview of this a couple of weeks ago, if you want to go listen to that as well. But it was sort of on the mark of what I expected, really. So total revenue for the half was $44 million, up from $29.7 million, which was an increase of 40%. What we wanted to look out for was the average revenue per customer, as Pushpay were targeting towards the medium to large churches. You'd expect this number to be higher, and it was. So average revenue per customer was $1,060 per month, and that was up quite a lot, 34.2% over the prior period. So if you think that, you know, revenue was up, 40% and average revenue per customer was up 34%, that actually a large amount of their revenue growth is because they're getting more out of each individual customer, as opposed to, I guess, new business from new churches. And that was reflected in the total customers as well, so which is up 4.2% to 7,420 for the year. So it'll be interesting to see going forward how much more they can squeeze out of the older customers. And they have a good chart or graph in their report that shows the revenue per year that the customer signed up over the years and how it's increased. So it'll be, you know, interesting to see how long they can keep that up. And, you know, you'd expect going forward, if they're targeting the larger churches, that you know, customer growth may not be as fast as what it was in the past, but you'd expect the average revenue per customer to grow quite, you know, to outpace that. So that's something to watch out for. Annualized processing volume hit 3.2 billion. I think their long-term goal was to get to 10 billion. I noticed that annualized committed monthly revenue, it seemed to be gone from the analysis this time around, which is good. As I said before, I thought that was a pretty stupid statistic to bang on about. They're also canning quarterly reporting again. I think they were doing this initially because they really wanted to get that US listing. Now that they're not really focusing on that, they're getting rid of the quarterly reporting. I support that. I mean, it seemed pretty pointless to me that you'd get everyone together for it when you didn't have to. They reiterated that they're going to be cash flow positive by the end of the year. The market didn't like the update. It was down 5% on the day, and I think down 3% the next day. They said that they're expecting between 97.5 and 100 million US dollars in revenue. And so you're sort of thinking, well, why is the stock down? You know, the revenue's growing faster than the cost, which is good to see. So why is the stock down? That they're guiding higher and everything like that. And I guess, you know, they keep on meeting their expectations. So, you know, it leaves you wondering. And I guess, you know, I think the market sort of expects the company to be knocking out of the park. When you know, their business is in the United States, and when you think about what's happening in the United States at the moment, by all accounts, the economy is absolutely humming. You would imagine that would create a good giving environment. And then you also think that, yeah, the economy's humming, but you've also got quite a charged political and religious situation over there at the moment. Well, at least that's the impression you get sitting here in Auckland by watching the news and keeping up with things. You know, you got Donald Trump and everything like that literally firing on all cylinders, and you'd expect that to, and Pushpay have said to us in the past that Donald Trump's actually been quite good for them. So with all that together, you'd expect that to create quite a good giving environment. So I guess the market sort of is maybe wondering, you know, should they be beating their guidance by more? But then you think, well, what is their guidance? If they're guiding accurately, then maybe that's what we should expect. So I don't know, it'll be interesting to see at the in the next update where they guide to for the coming periods. That's the real question for me. One other thing I picked up on that I had a quick chuckle at was Chris Heaslip's shareholder letter started off with, "Dear fellow shareholder." I think a nice little reminder from Chris that, you know, even though Elliot Crowther sold out last year, that he still owns a significant whack of shares. So, you know, nice little reminder there from Chris. It made me chuckle. Right, well, that's about all we have time for today. Keep an eye out on Monday. We'll be releasing that bonus episode of my interview with Craig Herbison from Plexure. If I could leave people with one thing, it would be John Fallot's quote on price and value. Just remember, when you're investing in stocks or investing in anything, price is what you pay and value is what you get.